Good afternoon and welcome to another afternoon of great entertainment here on the Larry Corley Show on WQNA Springfield 88.3 The Edge. I'm your host, Larry Corley. I have some special interviews lined up for you today. The first takes a look back to a more innocent time in recent history, a time before the internet, when art, movies, and television were at their grooviest. First up today is my interview with Mark Voger. This is Mark's second visit to the show. Some of you may remember my previous interview with Mark talking about his book Monster Mash, which detailed the monster craze in America, which began in the late 1950s. Mark's new book, titled Groovy, covers some of the same years but focuses on the culture of the time, including David Cassidy, the Monkees, the Brady Bunch, Tiny Tim, Peter Max, and a whole lot more. His book is a heavily illustrated time capsule, and for those of us of a certain age, a very psychedelic trip down memory lane. You'll hear some great tunes during the interview, and to put you all in the mood, here's one of those classics from the Beatles. Mark, another great masterpiece here. Your other book was about all kinds of monsters and that whole monster movement from the late 1950s and throughout the 1960s. And here we're looking back once again into an era that is very, very groovy. Tell me, what was the inspiration for creating Groovy when flower power bloomed in pop culture?
Oh, well, thank you for your interest, Larry. And hey, thanks for inviting me back, because it's so rare that I get invited anywhere a second time. what happened was, I was always intrigued with this period. I was 11 years old in 1969 when Woodstock happened, so I kind of knew that something was going on, but I was, you know, much too young to really understand it or to take part. But I just remember, you know, growing up in suburban New Jersey. My father was a Marine during World War II and a teenager during the Depression. He was a little older than father's kids my age, so he was a stern parent, you know, and he wasn't fond of he didn't like it when the boys in the neighborhood started growing their hair long. But I had that rebellious kind of thing, not really rebellious. You couldn't rebel against him, but I had that thing where I longed to be cool. I wanted to be cool. I wanted acceptance, and I just thought, in when you watched a groovy movie or a groovy TV show, all you had to do is grow your hair long and say, "Far out, man!" And then you had friends.
Did it work?
Nah, of course not. You know, by the time. Although in the 70s, I did grow my hair and say, "Far out, man."
You really cover a lot of the bases here of pop culture, and television and movies, all of the pop culture stuff, and certainly it really brought back a lot of memories for me, because I was a child during that era as well. And that wonderful Life magazine cover of Peter Max. Peter Max was really one of those artists who really sort of exemplifies the 60s, I think, when we think of that era, that whole style of art. Was that something that really interested you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my best friend in the eighth grade had Peter Max jeans. They were they were yellow with red pockets. You know, Peter Max was somebody who, marketed himself so much. And some artists and some, you know, kind of hippie type people would grumble at the time that he's you know, part of the establishment because he did this, but there was Peter Max cereal on breakfast tables. There were Peter Max clocks that were hanging in you know, suburban homes, and there was and posters. Oh my gosh, almost everybody I knew had a Peter Max poster, you know.
Sure.
And to this day, even though I know he was very calculated, to this day I kind of feel that childlike attraction to the colors and the shapes. You know, his style was very kind of like, or still is, you know, childlike and accessible.
Absolutely, and what a marketing genius to pull all of that off in an era before internet, you know, to really make that kind of an imprint. It's very impressive. Looking through all of the entertainment, you know, in the entertainment section here, the music and so on, one thing that stood out for me was Tiny Tim. I had really forgotten about Tiny Tim after all of these years, but I do remember his wedding to Miss Vicky being quite an event for television. What was Tiny Tim's contribution to Groovy and the 60s?
Well, you know, Larry, it's funny. I wanted to put Tiny Tim as my cover boy.
Oh, really?
On the whole book.
Okay.
And, yeah, and I thought it would get like a weird reaction, like, what is that? You know, and it would intrigue people, and everybody talked me out of it. So, and I'm kind of glad because, you know, the cover's great, you know, as it is right now. But Tiny to me, I mean, again, I was a child when I first saw him on a show called Rowan and Martin's Laugh, and that was a comedy show. They had him on, and he was something to be kind of laughed at and marveled at. They played it for laughs. They were all like, "Is this guy for real?" But the weird thing was, he really was for real. He was really this very unusual person. He was, you know, extremely tall. He had a toucan-like nose and a death white pallor and stringy hair. And he played the ukulele and accompanied himself in a nails on blackboard falsetto. And so, you know, but he's somebody. He was a character from that time, very much of that time.
Tiptoe by the window.
It's a contest between Tiny Tim and Melanie for, like, who is the ultimate flower child of the 1960s. And I might give it to Tiny.
Yeah, I mean, he was so different and so unusual. And I believe he even played Carnegie Hall, which, you know, is absolutely shocking. I mean, someone who had this sort of very, very novelty act, let's say. Let's just call it novelty because there was nothing else like that. That he had that kind of success and continued to be on television and to have this big wedding on television, which you write about being one of these great ratings, you know, getters in that era.
Yeah, and you know, as a jazz guy, I recommend to you and your listeners to find on YouTube, Tiny was once on a show called The Hollywood Palace in the 60s, and the host that night was Bing Crosby. And if you can find that clip, it's amazing because Tiny had this encyclopedic knowledge of all the old, of course I'm going back to swing, but of all the old songs, the Tin Pan Alley, and, you know, he idolized Rudy Valley, and he idolized Bing Crosby. So when Bing Crosby had him on, Bing was very sweet to him. Bing didn't treat him like a freak, you know. Bing was, you know, laughing at him, with him, you know, and it's really a charming and fascinating study of, like, of two people from completely different eras, completely different artistic disciplines, actually finding common ground. Hollywood Palace, Bing Crosby.
I'm going to look for that, definitely. I'm sure everyone else will, too, now that you've mentioned that. It sounds fascinating.